Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Welcome, 10th of November, 2013. This is Ever Beyond. I'm still continuing my conversation with Katie Galanti because, well, there's been so much going on in such a small period of time on so many levels in our own personal world and in the global situation. You know, it's all a mirror. It's all a fractal omniverse that we found ourselves pretending to exist in, and we're plagued by locust-looking electric robot creature computers that pretend to imitate everything, that create these things that we call greys and reptilians, and pretend that they rule over us using their mind control techniques. These are the day. They use humans as channels for their energy, and in exchange they get certain benefits like being able to do weird and perverted things or whatever they feel like doing. Ultimate power, ultimate ego satisfaction. These people we call the Archons, and they've been studied by various people, including the early Gnostics, which is why the Catholic Archon-infested Roman Empire extension is wiped them out in a very few centuries, and then wiped everything else out in the ensuing centuries. But it's amazing because all this stuff is coming out, and now we're seeing the Catholic Church fall apart, and hopefully the whole Roman Empire come to a grinding halt. Or actually, it's got a kind of momentum of its own. It basically needs to go. It needs to kind of come towards something that is very hard and invulnerable. It's because it's been picking on the vulnerable far too long. It needs to find something that it's vulnerable to. And so that's the way things are. it's actually in Britain. It's nearly the 11th of November, the 11th of the 11th. So welcome everybody.
And hello.
And yes. Oh, sorry. So anyway, yeah, I kind of digress a little bit, but we were talking. I mean, amongst other things, we were talking about the Delphi technique, which was the modus operandi of the Common Purpose Group, and it's basically a conjuring mind controlling technique that employs NLP techniques that push groups of people. It can create mob anger, and it uses these emotional tools to modify so-called public opinion by manipulating meetings at grassroots levels, even all the way down to your local committee. They'll be infesting that with, and what it does, it creates a thing called groupthink, which is as bad as having a religious blind faith. It's exactly the same thing, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
And that is just basic. But deep down, why do they need to control public opinion? Because there's lots of us, and there's very few of them, right? And so, actually, our opinion matters, because if we all together decided to disagree with the whole thing and to do our own thing, they couldn't really do anything, right? So to be able to implement their agenda and to be able to steer the world where they want it to go, they have to have consensus, some kind of consensus. And what they do is that when they lose the consensus, like they're doing right now, because a lot of the people are not listening to the mainstream media, a lot of the people are starting to think with their own heads, what they do is that whenever there is dissent, then they go in and they co-opt that dissent. They pretend to be part of it, and then they steer it wherever it is that they want it to go. So the tool is pretty much, on the one hand, demonize the dissent, discredit the dissent, and if you can't do that, join the dissent and steer it somewhere else, okay? And this is the very basic way in which they have been operating for a very, very long time. If you go back and you actually go and have a look at the history of various revolutions with new eyes, I remember this even when I was in school, studying when I was a teenager. I had a really good history and philosophy teacher. It was one subject for us at the time, history and philosophy. And he was a really interesting guy, and he used to make us think about all sorts of things. And I remember when we were studying the French Revolution, I was all for it. I was like, yeah, you know, let them eat cake, that sucks, let's, you know, French Revolution, great. Right? And then the next chapter, you realize that nothing changed. It just became, it went from being a monarchy where stuff sucked to being an empire where stuff sucked. Right? And I remember thinking, well, that's obviously human nature, because then they tell you it's human nature, you know, because it happened even with the Bolshevik revolution, and then it became a totalitarian thing. And it's like, okay, well, that's human nature, obviously, to do that, but it's not human nature to do that.
But it's human nature is a meme.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what
it is.
And that's what it's about. It's about creating memes. They know about memes, and they've been using them, and they've created them, and we're still caught by them. You know,
we do.
So this whole thing, you know, this, you know, oh, that's human nature. No, I mean, let's see. I wonder where the words human nature. I wonder where that meme came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably comes from Darwin, who painted humans as bad monkeys.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the memes, you call them memes, I call them programming, right? It's the same thing. One of the ones that is going on at the moment is that humans are bad for the Earth. Okay? Humans
yes.
are bad for...
Agenda 21.
Absolutely. Humans are bad for the Earth, and the Earth would be better off without them, right? That we're like a virus for the Earth.
Yeah, and like the Agent Smith said to Neo in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a virus.
That's right.
I can't stand the way you smell.
Why would they want you to think that?
Well, it means that we're not good enough.
Yeah, but just... what do they want you to do? Like, that's a human race suicide program, right?
Yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah, it's a suicide program. It makes you feel so worthless.
Yeah, no. I'm talking collectively. It's like, yeah, sure, kill us off. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Did you see Soylent Green?
No, but I know what it is. I mean,
yeah.
That's incorporated in The Matrix.
Okay, old movie, right? Very old movie, 70s or something. And basically, people would go and check themselves in for being killed. Okay? It was like environmentally friendly that after a certain point, you would check yourself in to be obsoleted. Right, and you would literally go in, and they would set up a nice little room for you, with you could program what you wanted to see. You could see nice sceneries of like flowers and all the rest of it, and then they would basically kill you off. But it was all voluntary. People would do it on a voluntary level when they became a burden to society. Right, and by the way, some of that is actually in Obamacare, like kind of hidden in somewhere. Do you know what I mean? But,
oh, yes, the burden. On you go.
Yeah. But the idea, one of the ideas there is to program people to go along with the depopulation agenda because we're bad for the earth. Like, there is a, almost like a religion, I mean, I am, obviously everybody wants the earth to be healthy and we all need air to breathe and, you know, it's like, I'm not saying that it's not good to be planet friendly. You want to be planet friendly. It's important to be planet friendly. But also be aware that because it's important to be planet friendly, that is one of the things that they're using very, in a very big way to manipulate you into buying into all sorts of things, such as global carbon tax, right? Such as a different way of being monitored through world agencies that are out there to protect the environment, right? Again, it's in Agenda 21. You can see that stuff also. And also, in general, it seems that today I'm talking a lot about this, what I call this Bohemian Elite. Bohemian Elite, Georgia Guidestones, what this particular faction of the New World Order wants is the population reduction. Okay? 500,000 people on the planet, and that's it. All the other ones have to go. Now, how do you make all of the other ones go? You convince them that they're bad for the earth. Right? So that, apart from soft killing them through all sorts of things that are bad for them, you will also program them to allow their own extinction. Okay? So, you know, we're kind of going randomly across stuff. But one of the reasons which this was actually kind of prominent on my mind was because, again, I was following the Russell Brand thing, and I was, as a result of that, I was actually looking at Daniel Pinchbeck's page, because Daniel interviewed Russell Brand on Gaia TV just before he kind of went viral. And he's talking about him a lot on his page. So I went to have a look at what Daniel was saying. And Daniel Pinchbeck, by the way, if people don't know him, he is somebody, he wrote Breaking Open the Head. He's kind of considered the new Terence McKenna. He's very prominent in the whole Burning Man, you know, Burning Man, LSD, entheogens kind of world, okay? And I actually met Daniel years ago in England when I was crop circle hunting, and so was he. And we just, I didn't know who he was, we just happened to share a table at a restaurant because it was the last call for food being served. So, long story, I ended up sitting with him for a while. And
fate brought you together.
It did. And it also so happened that he was staying in a cottage that was right next door to the one that I was staying in. So we kind of crossed for about a week, right? And then, you know, he went back to his world. And but because of that, he stayed on my radar because I ended up reading his book, do you know what I mean, and so on. Otherwise, I don't think I would have... I'm not a burner, do you know what I mean? I don't think I would have gone in... he wouldn't have appeared in my consciousness that much. But anyway, I followed... I was part of his Breaking Open the Head message board for forum for a little while after that. And there was it was interesting. There was a lot of really interesting people in it, kind of brainstorming about all sorts of things. And then I read his second book. I didn't like it, and he kind of went off my radar, okay? Until recently, with the Russell Brand thing, I was like, okay, so now he's on Gaiam and he's interviewing Russell. Let's see what he's saying, right? So I went to read up a little bit about what Daniel is saying. And I'm on this page, and I don't know how many posts he's making about the environment and reducing your carbon footprint, and how are you going to change your life so that we don't have a 4 degrees increase in the temperature by 2050. What are you doing to not contribute to global warming, right? And I was like, global warming? We had climate gate already. We already decided that there was no global warming, right? But apparently, not in certain circles, apparently, you remember, right, the whole climate gate thing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is part of, I've been known, again, it's something that I've been following for a few years with this friend of mine, who was investigating into ClimateGate and Agenda 21, and all about this whole, basically, yes, you're saying it's a mass suicide program for the human race. By saying, I'm a bad person. Well, I'm a bad thing. Because all I do is consume and breathe out carbon dioxide, which is the worst thing in the world that could happen to the planet. I mean, what would the trees breathe without us? Anyway, meanwhile, the whole thing is all about carbon tax, and it's the new religion, right? So get this, this is how they're going to try and frame a new religion, bearing in mind that humanity, in general, once they've woken up, is beyond religion. Mm-hmm. Religion is actually going to be a realization of your connectedness with the One.
Mm-hmm.
That's true religion, and more people are going to get that. And the number of people who will buy into this will dwindle. You know, it's like everybody thought, you know, or not everybody thought, but the tiny amount of people who thought that Obamacare was a good idea, you know, like, whatever, 15% of them, they're even disillusioned too, you know, because they tried to sign up and couldn't do it. I think that's part of, like, the humor almost writes itself. But here in this point where they're trying to scrape us up from the grassroots and uproot the human race and swish everybody away, that's not good, because it's like this is the thing that happened recently, right? I think it was Romania or one of these Eastern European countries outlawed horses in their main cities. Right? It was, they just kind of going over from an agrarian to the highly technological. They outlawed horses. So what did they have to do? They had to slaughter all the horses. Where did the what happened to the horses? Well, the bones were used for glue, and the meat was sold as beef in Britain.
Right.
and then they're going, oh, what happened there? Well, this is what happens. This is the price of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the taste of that? You know?
What was their motives behind getting rid of the horses?
Because the farmers, when you dispose, you can't, disposing of humans, disposing of animals is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can bury them, but you got to find space to bury them, and space costs money, right? You can burn them, you can recycle them, use the skin for things. You know, everything's got a use, but, you know, what do you do with all this? Well, it looks good enough. I could almost eat that. So they thought, well, let's disguise it as beef, label it as beef, and send it to the English and French, because they eat all sorts of shit food that they don't care about. So, you know, they don't care what's in their meat. You know, 100% meat hamburger. What meat? Horse meat? Monkey meat? Good God, people! So, this is making a mockery of the meat industry, and it's a death industry. And, I feel that this decision that my soul made for me earlier this year, it was really exactly the right thing to do. It was exactly the right time, because if I haven't eaten I did eat some horse a few years ago when I was in France, but that's not what it's about. It's about not respecting yourself by throwing all shit into your body. Inappropriate feed into the human machine, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm getting to the point of realizing that this wheat stuff that we've been fudging ourselves up with has turned me into a fat person. It's the wheat. So I'm eating rice cakes, and I love rice cakes now. So I've just thought of some really of a really cool product, right? Here's a really cool product, right? Crop circle shapes made with gluten-free versions of the wheat that comes from crop circles in Wiltshire.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't that be cool? I think that would be really cool. And you make them into the shape of the crop circle that they landed in. And they'd be, you know, they'd be supercharged, you know, they'd be totally cosmic, and you can, you know, you can have it with organic, local, raw milk that you buy from your neighbour who has a cow.
You know. Mm-hmm. And would they be crop cookies?
Crop cookies. You, I mean, I think these farmers are really missing out on the whole bit. You know, they rent out the field, and then when they mow the field, it's not ruined because the field itself, as agglomerate, has a higher value because it's got this amazing wheat inside it. And he should use the seeds and grow his next field from the seeds that come from the crop circle.
Yeah,
any decent farmer worth his salt would do that.
Yeah. See, you're full of ideas, JP.
I'm full of them. I could create a whole new future all by myself. Maybe that's what I should be doing. Maybe all I need to do is edit out all the bits of the future in my 3 years of programs. You know,
start putting it together.
Yeah, maybe it's a good idea.
Gets not to be co-opted in the process.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. It's got and it has to really be a self-organizing collective. You know, I don't want to take responsibility. I don't want to be a leader of it.
Absolutely.
You know, just I don't mind starting it and creating the space, just like the jam sessions. I don't want to lead the jam. I don't want to lead the music. Somebody who comes along who wants to play the music will play the music. They'll come in and they start strumming. They begin the music. It's and somebody doesn't have to be me that brings the kickstart energy to any of the meetings. That's what I'm talking about. You know, normally that's the leader, you know, who comes prepared. He, the chairman, you know, comes prepared to the meeting. All this BS. No, it might be the tea lady or the tea boy, you know.
It's true. It's very true.
So where were we? We're looking at Pinchbeck. And his little empire. So, Beatrixie, she's on the ball. This woman, Beatrixie, Daniel Pinchbeck.
What are you saying?
Daniel Pinchbeck, IMH, in my humble opinion, also has a messiah complex.
Oh, absolutely, he does. Yeah, but I'm okay. Or let's say one could interpret it that way. Or that he likes that role of being the one that carries the ideas, right, and so on. But, you know, people are people, and they do what they do, right? I think Daniel, in his own way, he's genuine but flawed, right? And I think that we are all genuine but flawed some are not genuine, but there's a lot of genuine but flawed people out there. The problem is when your flaws allow for entry of, of other stuff, where you end up being a person that becomes a spokesperson for an agenda that is not your agenda without even realizing that that is the case, okay? Which basically can come down to not being very conscious. My beef with Daniel, in terms of not him, but some of the stuff that he's putting out there at the moment, is that it seems to me that he hasn't done his homework. It's like a lot of the stuff that he is endorsing, you can punch big holes all the way through that if you do your research and you do your homework. And I know for a fact that he has done some research and some homework. So I'm actually kind of surprised to see him writing articles such as Conspiranoia, right? Because he's basically now saying that, oh yes, he knows all about MK Ultra. He knows all about all of these other things. He knows all about the various conspiracies to take over the world. But there's no proof. This is his article. He knows all about these things. However, there's no proof for any of it. Therefore, There's no point in talking about it, and let's talk about what can we really do to change the world. Skip to the next thing. Okay, what about global warming? And it's like, hang on a minute. If you've looked at all of these things, how can you possibly endorse this kind of stuff? It's like, and then you can see how the mass mind gets manipulated. You can actually literally see it in real time, how the mass mind gets manipulated, because then you have somebody that is vulnerable to becoming a spokesperson to stuff that is New World Order based, but doesn't think that he's a spokesperson for that. But for whatever reason, because it sounds good or because there's some personal appeal to him, he becomes a spokesperson for that. And then before you know it, he's interviewing Russell Brand, who is another person who may or may not be aware that he's a spokesperson for something. And before you know it, you have charismatic personalities that appeal to the base, right, who are pushing forward an agenda without even knowing to some degree that they're doing that. And then a lot of people follow them. It all sounds good, but it's skin deep. It's like it's not, it's not being inspected the way that it needs to be. And before you know it, it has a lot of voltage behind it. And before you know it, for example, Daniel Pinchbeck now is writing for the New Statesman, right? And so now, actually, what he says, thinks, and believes matters. Now, why is he writing for the New Statesman and not some other person? They didn't ask Enrique from Red Ice to write for the New Statesman. They asked for Daniel to write for the New Statesman. Why? Because he's not really radical enough, and because he has embraced various ideas, such as the cult of sustainability, right, that, sound really good and sound really noble, and they have a lot of traction, but they're actually not really serving what they seem to serve. And there you have the beginning of, of a stream of mass consciousness that starts to get momentum that we really, really don't need. Do you know what I mean? We really, really don't need it. And the thing is, as I say, human beings are human beings. They think whatever they like. They do whatever they like. That is fine. But I think that it's our job. I don't know how you see your role, JB, but I think my role is, if I see clearly, I have to speak it, right? I don't presume to be right all the time. But if I see something that I think is a manipulation, if I see something that I think is a trap of some kind, my role is to speak it. And then other people can do whatever they like, but if you see it, you have to say it. And I guess this is our own, if you see something, say something.
Let's tell on them. Let's tell on the powers that be. Let's tell everybody who exactly the hell they are. And just lay it out. That's the way, because people speak in hushed tones, all right? Because everybody's so scared of having big guys in black suits with helicopters and flying all this over the thing. Somehow it doesn't always happen. It only happens to some people. And, not everybody's been part of a military program. It's not the whole world, and this is what people need to remember, that everybody needs to remember, that it's actually just a very small sample, but it's amplified beyond measure through the internet and through the, because I can make one post and hundreds of people will watch it. That's not normal. I used to only be able to send one message to one person. Although that was part of my early work, was to cure that and help write programs that made sticky labels that printed on, that is ubiquitous these days. But then it was quite rare to have a company database that wrote out sticky labels to specific people. and addresses and that sort of stuff. Yes.
Very good, Yi. All right. I think I'm almost maxing out on my headache varying ability.
Sweetheart,
I've had a headache all the way through this show, right? I took 3 pain pills before, but it doesn't seem to have scratched it that much. So, can I wrap up my, shall we wrap up on me so then you can keep on going with the rest of you?
Indeed. What I'll do is, also add your name to the healing list, for Frank Jordan and yes. So, yeah, Katie, as long as you like, take your time, and thank you very, very, very much. Bless you.
All right, and so I'll just close up just saying, be aware. It seems to me that the world is kind of brewing something right now, and that the powers that be are kind of brewing something. Just keep your eyes peeled on what is being endorsed and what is being given to you to follow at this particular time. And then the other thing is, let's create another network. Let's create another internet. We need a new internet.
Yeah. We need to research other ways of communicating, including telepathy. Maybe we should start doing some experiments. In Rebecca's show, we used to do this. We used to orb out to somebody's garden. To Donna's garden. Yeah, so that might be an interesting thing to try sometime. Anyway, thank you so much. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I'm going to go. So thank you for listening, and it was fun as usual. And I hope all of your rats and sewage problems are over, and happy Mercury Direct.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot the smoke. Not only did I had smoke coming from the fire, which was blowing backwards down the chimney, and I used a chimney brush as well as a drain rod to rid myself of two of these problems. So I had to clean deep both ends, whatever that means, input and output, whatever it is, or both outputs. Anyway, sweetheart, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to rant on probably for another several hours. So I hope everybody's got their seatbelts tightened. Sweetheart, thank you. And I hope you feel very better soon. Have some drink some holy water. There's some structured water.
I'm going to. All right, sweetie, lots of love, and we'll speak soon, okay? Bye.
Thank you very much. Good night, Katie. I just realized I've had my mic faded down while I did this amazing speech. Why did I do that? Because I'm an idiot. So, I had this fantastic speech that I just gave, and it went nowhere because nobody heard it. The return of Quetzalcoatl. All right, so yeah, if anybody would like to call in and speak to me until that time when I've had enough. But yeah, if anybody wants to call in, it's 775-657-5973 or wolfspirit.switchboard. I wonder. Was that completely silent? I'm very sorry about that. Well, okay, so coming back onto topic, and really what's, here's all the things, right? So I had rats in the attic and flies in the basement and drainage coming up and smoke coming out and my website went down. And I thought, this is an experience, isn't it? This is fun. And, there was also other emotional situations going on. But somehow there was also this sense of, this is so totally ridiculous. This can't be real. And what can I deal with? And what do I need help with? Because, we have to take responsibility, but also we have to know when it's not our business, where our boundaries are, what are you currently prepared to do, and what are you not prepared to do that has to be done, so you have to get somebody else to do it. And that's fine, because somebody else might love doing that thing. You know, I met the guy, he's a rat catcher. He catches rats. Well, he kills rats. That's his business, you know. And whatever karma he's decided to take on with that, that's fine. And he's a nice enough fellow called Roger. Roger the Rat Man. And he put poison around very nonchalantly, and it was not a big deal for him. So you find people for whom your problems are not a big deal. And then when you speak to them, you can tune into them and see why it's not a big deal. You can get to understand them, get to empathize with them. And so doing what they did for you, you're able to empower yourself to do it next time. Okay, so that's all you do. All right, there's nothing, no big deal. You don't have to worry about your karma, and it's all that. It's fine. And so that's how I'm learning. And you know, I don't like rats. They make me very nervous indeed. I don't like them. If I'm in a wooden house, I wouldn't like them in the walls, as they were. So, but I'm going to have to clean up. There's a lot of rat poop up there that I'm going to have to go up there with some brush or Hoover or some form of poop extractor. Maybe I should compost a lot of them. Oh yeah. During all that, you know, I was. I thought I was producing on Wednesday for Sean David Morden, and that didn't happen because that's actually next week. Steve asked me a week and a half early. I imagine that everything is so emergency that I'm ready at the drop of a hat, you know, to help out. And so it's really no, it's next week, Jeremy. Okay, all right. Okay, so and then. Once I did that, and then I saw Christy, who just said, "Is anybody willing to do my show?" So I said, "I've got nothing to do now." So I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." So I took on Christy's show, and I did an hour of gardening with Heather Rhodes, and that was great fun. So I might have her on the Ever Beyond, and maybe we'll talk about the esoteric side of gardening and. The times and the cycles and things like that. It was a very interesting conversation, you know, because you know, I always talk about what I like to talk about, and it's usually quite fun, and that the people would be actually interested in what I'm interested in, so I do like that. Yes, decon, yes, but I don't live in America and I don't think I can get decon across the border, but yes. Oh. Mm-hmm. Hang a second. Ahem, ahem, ahem. Yes, indeed. Nice cup of tea. Sean David Morton. Yes, that was the show that I was. I'll be producing for him on Wednesday. No big deal. You know, it's playing some music and doing things at a certain time. I'm used to that. I do that all the time now. So. Let's see how badly I'm going to mess up on Wednesday. You know, if you want to tune in, it's on Rev Radio Studio A, and I think it's this time of night. It's the same as the Beyond slot on Wednesday. So we'll see how Sean enjoys a JP produced show with all his miscues and dead air. Well, yeah, so meanwhile, in order to avoid dead air receding hairlines, I was joking with Thomas today, my hairline is so receded, there's not very, you know, anyway, so a very receded hairline, and he tried to liken me to Phil Collins, which is not bad, you know, he did a couple of good things. Meanwhile, Russell Brand, Pinchbeck, all of those things, common purpose. I hope you you derive something out of that conversation there with Katie. We were talking about some of these methods that are being used to infiltrate the hearts and minds of people all over the world, but particularly in the Anglosphere, and presumably there are Chinese versions, and they're using stage techniques, magician techniques, to fool us, you know. And there's not very many, you know. It's like their first rule is divide and rule, and that's what they do immediately. Oh, you're this and you're that. And as soon as they get in there, they'll divide and divide, and then regroup according to the agenda that they have, that they're carrying, which is to continue the program of causing humanity to kill itself. Not a good idea. So that's what poison is, you know, on a a grand level, on a zoomed out level, you know, they're poisoning us in our minds, poisoning the being that is the human. Almost time for a break. What am I going to have this week? Oh, but somebody calls. Area code. Oh, what happened to you? Try again. Until that time, I'm going to put on a tune, and now we've had that, so let's have... It's gotten quite cold just now, but let's have a look. We're going to play... it's called Blues for Ibiza, so you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. And welcome back to Ever Beyond. We are on No Borders Radio and on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. We are JP, and I have currently called into the show is Sindolo from Idaho. So welcome to Ever Beyondo. And
well, howdy,
partner.
Yeah,
so lovely.
Right,
so it's lovely.
Full disclosure is that I'm not from Idaho.
You're not from Idaho. Well, I'm not from Scotland. Yeah. So we're even on that one. But you're calling from Idaho, and that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, I like to think it counts for. You know what it counts is when I write a letter to my quote unquote representative. Congressional representative, and they actually think that I'm a constituent or something. Although they probably have me pegged by now, pinned on some dartboard.
There's a code in the database.
Yeah.
that is a classification grouping of people like you, and there's people like me, and I do my best to become completely random, but I mean that probably means that I'll be classified as one of those random blokes, you know. So meanwhile,
definitely not to be trusted. Yeah, you really think there's a database, or are you just being sort of, you know, kidding around? I mean, you think by now there actually are databases? Like, didn't they have them in Germany? Didn't IBM invent them?
Yeah, of course there's databases. I've been working on databases for years and years and years. So they've got a lot of money behind them, and they can pay lots of people to do work on their databases without them knowing that they're working on the database that is going to be used to kill them. You know, and IBM, like you said, did it. They did the 1930s census in Germany that identified everybody by their bloodline. And don't think that that's ever stopped. You know, if they did it in 1937, and that's 70 years ago, what kind of computer technology have they got now? And what I'm thinking is that they can take your bloodline, they know who you are. If they haven't got your DNA, they can estimate your DNA by analyzing who your family are. And
teeth and all, huh?
You know, that's not beyond the you know, and if I was doing it, that's what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, of course, you know, it's just like, what's taking them so long? This cat and mouse game, you know? Why doesn't the cat just knock the mouse off and get it over with?
Well, because they are used, they can only copy what we do. So what they do is, and this is where you're getting to with the co-opting thing. So I'm going to let you talk in a minute about this, but what they're doing, this is another one of their techniques, is the photocopy technique, and they take a photocopy of the radical, and make a robot clone copy of them, and then release that on the public. Now, whether they do that with a real robot clone, or whether they do that with the real person having, you know, adjusted something, that's a question that remains. But that's only really details. That the effect is
robot
the same.
Robot clone? You mean Jerry Rubin was a robot clone? Do you think?
Sorry that your voice got turned into a robot cloning sounding
Jerry,
voice.
Jerry, oh, I'm sorry. I'll speak up. Jerry Rubin, you think was a robot?
Who's Jerry?
Clone? Did they have him?
Who's Jerry Rubin? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, looking back on the 60s, I'm thinking, you know, Abbie Hoffman, who I adored and still do, Jerry Rubin, another animal entirely, not to go off on a tangent here, but you were talking about robot clones.
Oh, robot clones, and well, you never know what could be a robot. I believe that technology is far in advance of what we've been led to believe, which is why it seems so far-fetched. However, a few years ago, saying that there was a secret government force that was working against the public population, if you'd have said that in 2000, people would think that you're a complete nutter. But now it's like, oh yeah, everybody knows that. So...
Are we getting there? I mean, all my friends still think I'm tolerated... But they still think I'm a murderer.
Very soon, you're going to get confirmation. That's the thing. Very soon, people are going to start turning to you, and I think it's really well to be just for now. Just shut up. Sorry, I mean, I'm not being rude, but don't talk.
Right.
If there are people if there are people who are receptive, speak to them. But if they're not receptive to it, you'll just annoy them, and
have
a nice cup of tea.
Stop trying to wake people up.
Enjoy the cake.
Very thankless.
Yes.
To try to wake people up.
Enjoy the cake that you're sharing, you know? Enjoy a cup of coffee. Enjoy their presence, but don't try and change them. They're all right. And it's their choice. It's their choice at that moment, and you never know when somebody awakens. You never know what triggers them. You never know that what you said, even though it may have irritated them at the time, something will trigger that, and they'll think, oh no, she was right. You know?
You know what really kind of creeps me out, though, is when, you know, I'll be on some rant about, you know, one of my favorite conspiracy subjects, and my friends will be, like, agreeing with me and saying things like, well, you know, I just read something about that, and it turns out that they have fallen for some goddamn limited hangout. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say. I forget, you know, what you can say and what you can't. But
it's okay. You can say fuck on my show.
All right.
But you know, not all the time. But goddamn is fine. You can say goddamn. Fallen. You can say bloody. I'm cool.
That's good to hear, because I don't really like that. You know. Knuckle wrapping business. So it turns out that they have read something in the New York Times, or you know, and the New Yorker. Oh, I love to hate that magazine. And I subscribed to Harper's until the last year, and I went, wait a minute, this is a bunch of limited hangout crap at best. It's like propaganda all over the place. So my friends say, yeah, I heard something about that, and I go, oh, at last. It turns out that they've just fallen prey to some limited hangout thing, and now they're going to be, which is a road to nowhere.
All right, hang on. Can you explain to me what is a limited hangout? I've not heard that phrase before. I might know what you're talking about, but could you explain very slowly?
Okay, yeah. It means when there's a truth movement afoot. Some people have realized certain realities that are that the powers that be, let's say, wouldn't want to slip out into the world of general knowledge. And so the powers that be, if you will, in order to, as a little relief valve, before the movement gets too much steam, will co-opt it and have spokespeople explain the movement in a way that takes all the teeth out of it. They'll let out a little bit of the truth, or maybe a lot of the truth, but they will withhold the main thing, the real trigger, you know, the real issue. And those
the poop sandwich, as we call
some
it.
Some of them are... What?
The poop sandwich.
What's that?
The poop sandwich between two pieces of sugary bread, yeah.
The boob sandwich?
No.
That's a new one.
Sorry, is my...
Yes, I'm getting terrible feedback.
Maybe my mic is high. I'll turn the speakers down. But, I'm saying it's the poop sandwich. You know, there's a little bit of...
poop, right.
Horse poo, yeah. But basically, it's a disinformation. It's not misinformation. It's not, you know, it's decidedly disinformation. It's created by one of the branches of the Rothschild family. What we were talking about before, there were five groups. Each one of them, you know, must be the descendants of one of the original Rothschild children who were sent to five different places. So that all fits. So
I missed that part, but I was recording it, so I'll listen to it later.
Okay.
But I just, before my ear starts, I just had this cell phone plastered to my ear, and it starts to feel very unwholesome after a while. So if I could just explain my personal experience with the sort of COINTELPRO hopping on a movement before it gathers steam, I'd like to do that.
Go ahead, please.
All right, okay. So it has to do with the chemtrail thing. And I'm one of those people who, you know, maybe like 2005, 2006, although I had been aware of them for 5 or 6 or 8 years before that, just didn't really pay that much attention, lived in the woods, you know, couldn't see that much sky. And when I moved out to Idaho, I could see a lot of sky, and I saw some really weird stuff going on. Really weird, you know, like, one day you're thinking, oh, what a beautiful sunset, I think I'll grab my camera, and the next moment you're going, wait a minute, you know. My interest deepened, and I found some people who were on the same track, and they were lovely people, and I felt so reassured, you know, and I felt like things were, you know, we were going to start something and things would change, you know, like one little step at a time. And so this is in New York, and then what happened was, this one, our little group was very small for about maybe 6 months. And one of the people who, you know, I mean, I trusted all of them, still do, hooked up, quote unquote, with some other people, and suddenly there was this huge movement, right? And a huge lurid web page, you know, website called Aircrap. I didn't like the name, just right off the bat, you know, something struck me as just not right. And suddenly, I was getting like 30 emails a day from people that I didn't know. I was on all these lists and stuff. And I started to get the creeps, and I started to really look into it. And it is my firm belief that this was one of these disinformation limited hangout. A way in which the establishment hops on a meme or a movement before it's even born. I couldn't believe the speed that they did that, you know. And everybody else in the group was like, well, what's wrong with you? You're so paranoid. And I just, like, slipped out the back door, and that was the end of it for me. But, you know, I saw that up close, and I know a lot of it went on in the 70s. 60s and 70s, and it was called COINTELPRO, but that was just about the police. I mean, I had friends that went to jail and stuff because they were stupid enough to fall in with provocateurs. But there is a very huge provocateur element in there, too. I mean, this aircraft.org had all these wonderful ideas like defacing, you know, currency. So people would know, you know, scrawling chemtrails are in your air on dollar bills and stuff. And I thought, that's it. That's the tip off. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Good, good. Thank you, Sundarno. And so when you found that the whole thing had been co-opted, what was your experience? What was your response to that? How did you feel about it?
I felt like there were other people in the group that were still thinking that they were onto a good thing, and I've noticed that references to aircraft. I check in with, you know, their websites everywhere once in a while. Wonderful people, but I've noticed that I think for the most part all the references, the links to aircraft.org have pretty much disappeared. There's, you know, one of the things that tips me off, could be just me, I don't think so, is that these disinformation people, these spooks, you know, these goons, like to use scatological references in the material. Like Ted Gunderson, I don't want to start a fire, start up a controversy here. Anyone is like really attached to Ted Gunderson, or even, well, probably most people don't even know who he is, but he was one of the originators of aircraft.org, and boy, did I look into him, and also the ridiculous Anthony J. Hilder. He had a website called The Daily Motion, okay? If you Google him on like chemtrails, he's like right in your face, very unattractive, and this is also very typical of these people, very unattractive shots of these people, way up close, way, way too close for a camera to be, and using a lot of words like crap and this shit has got, you know, and, you know, people with, and I was one of them thinking, oh boy, he's got credentials. He's an FBI guy. That's great. And he's talking about chemtrails. And then revisiting, you know, his little spots on YouTube and stuff, he's talking about, well, this shit has got to stop. You know, they have 8 planes up there. I looked into this, and there are 8 planes in this country that are dumping this crap on our population, and it's got to stop. I mean, they must just really laugh it up when they go home. 8 planes, imagine that. I'm ranting. Stop me.
Yes, you are. But it's about, you know, something that's unjust, and it's, you know, and what I like to do, you know, in the show is not to kind of keep the rant at that level. You know, you have to go beyond that, you know. So,
well, I think it's something for people to look out for.
Well, it's really, what can people do for themselves? How can people empower them? How have people empowered themselves to work against this? You know,
well, first they have to be aware of it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
But then the next question is, you know, because the question is who, what, where, when, how, all those questions. But really, you know, people ask those questions.
Well, we need a spiritual practice, don't we? Which I have, fortunately. It's my port in the storm, I'll tell you.
We all need our connection with our soul. You know, that's really, you know, and that's where we find the answers to these things. You know, there will always be answers.
Besides, what's that?
There will always be answers. If you can keep your mind quiet, if you can quieten the mind, the answers are there. And it's not just like there's never a choice between one and the other. if there is, then you have to realize that you're in a, you're in one of their games. And so you stop
the
game.
Yeah, but I think if someone is like, what euphemism to be used here, pulling your chain or whatever, you need to be aware of their motives, you know, and where they're coming from so you don't get ripped off, you know, psychically or intellectually, or in the case of our country or our whole world at this time, you know, totally, absolutely.
Discernment and discrimination. And if you listen carefully to my shows about the rays, you'll be able to learn to discriminate and discern between the different frequencies, and that certain things live at certain frequencies. And if you recognize the frequencies, then you can recognize where something is coming from. And
well, also, you could just smell a rat.
Well, yeah, exactly. Some people don't have, you know, I've got a terrible color vision. I can't see colors very well, so I have other clues. But I don't like the sound of rats. It's the, you know, I'm very tuned into the audio frequencies of things. So that's what happens. You know, pulling frequencies.
Well, I'd like to explore that with you sometime. Anyway, I will let you go. I'm sure you have other people who would like to say something. I've really been monopolizing your time, but I'm so happy to get that off my chest once, you know, in front of a bunch of people at one time. Thank you.
Well, if you want to call in, thank you very much, Cindelo. You'll be back in the chat room, presumably.
I will be back in the chat room, indeed, and now I guess I'll get this black thing off my ear.
Yeah, it's all right. You'll
take
be fine.
Care now, and I'll be in the chat.
I use cordless headphones.
That's JP.
Good night, Sunderlo.
Yeah? Headphone, yeah, I have to invest one of these. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Good night. So, no rules. Yes. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, no rules. What's the idea of all these rules? And what is it all about? What is all this? And the conclusion is that people want to be safe. People want to feel safe. People need to feel safe. This is this whole Maslow's pyramid, you know. Doesn't matter what's going on. If you don't feel safe, you're not living, really. You're just acting out of fear. And one of the things that the powers that be do is to try and convince us that we're not safe. This is one of their games. There's this whole series of games that they play. You know, they play the betrayal game. They play all these things, and that's one of the first rules is that you know the betrayal, that you can't trust anybody, and then you'll have all kinds of other games that are playing out that traumatize us. They basically traumatize us, and what we call civilization is actually a response to post-traumatic stress disorder, What we are calling the New World Order is the next level of trauma and stress. And I don't think the human mind is going to... Well, the idea is to overload the mind. All right, so here we are. I went through a shitstorm this week. I'm not going to fuck about. I don't mind if you switch off, because, you know, it's been... Like I said... I've had sewage coming up from the drains. I've had smoke coming out of the stove. I've had rats crawling over the ceiling. I've had flies buzzing up from the basement, and my website went down, and I had to rebuild that. So all these things happened all at the same time. And I just thought this is a ridiculous thing. This is a cosmic joke. I can't really be real. This must be just something that I've created, because this is, you know, this is the nature of reality. I've created all this, right? So I'm responsible for this. What is all this about? And it just seemed to be a further refinement of kind of tidy up your house, clean your house up, get rid of all these old ideas, And you know, there was one I was talking about in the show, and these are all language memes. And you know, we're getting these talking points that you hear on the news, and that they're just repeating the same word over and over again. And this is like I was saying with Katie, human nature. You know, you put these two words together, human nature, turns out to be, oh, human nature is sort of dark, evil, and greedy. You know, it's just human nature. You know, you can't trust them. I wonder who said that. I don't think that's true. I don't think the meme behind human nature is real. I think it's an artificial construct, and I don't believe that humans are inherently bad, greedy, or otherwise. So, human nature. What do you think? Anybody want to call in talking about that? But yeah, it's been a heck of a week. And somehow I feel like I've actually emerged the other side with a lot more energy, and it's like I've let go of something. So it's today was a nice day, but it's been pretty much of a rough road, and it's been a rough road for quite a lot of people. It's been a rough road for poor old Michael, number 7 here. He says it's like a 40-mile rough road. So that sounds a bit weird. Hello. Anyone here with me? yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, everybody's, you know, getting knocked sideways by all this stuff. And these are waves we're pushing through. And the trick is... is just be as calm as you can and accept what's going on, and don't try and control things, and talk from the heart, and be in the moment, and all of that other good stuff. That's really the. I think I'm under attack by the underworld. See, I don't believe. Yeah, I really don't believe in attack because it's all me. I'm one with everything, so it's just me teaching me. If people, you know. If the powers that be think they want to kind of silence me, I understand why they would want to do that, because I would threaten their position. However, I'm just a nutter talking in the loneliness, and nobody but you people are listening to it. And so it really doesn't matter what I say. It's only when people really start to listen, to what I'm saying, that I become a target. But hopefully by then I'll have moved on, and I'll have created this massive amount of Googleplexed data that is known as radio shows, and people have recorded it and downloaded it. Oh, by the way, one of the things that I've had to deal with is my website, my rebuilt website. So let's talk about the new everbeyond.info archive site. So I've gone there, and if you can go to everbeyond.info/archives, and it's actually a completely separate website. And it's got a radio station on it that is broadcasting at the moment this, but at other moments it will be kind of all ever beyond all the time, and I'll be playing selected archives and all sorts of interesting things, and hopefully it'll have a display of the playlist, and I hope eventually to make a kind of jukebox kind of thing where people can on demand have a radio station on demand, so you can vote for a particular sorry, I just thought I was in Eurovision Song Contest just there for a minute. You can click on a show, and it will be allotted the next place in the schedule, and when the times that I'm not I'm not presenting a live show, I'll just leave this thing running, and you can tune in and listen to random favourite archives, or, you know, archives as people like to listen to. Yes, and don't forget to run backups. Don't forget to back things up. Don't forget to make a copy and give it to somebody else. Even if it goes out of date a bit, it's still better than nothing. That's all I say. It, you know, just take a copy of something. Make copies. It's really easy to do it nowadays. You can buy gigabytes for very few bucks. and make copies of all your stuff that you really rely on and really need. So yeah, have a nice evening, Dave. We'll be back. He'll be back at 9-ish. So we'll all be very well behaved, Dave. Yeah. So we're talking about Google and all that stuff. So yeah. So basically, what we're going to have to do is create our own internet. And create our own mail server, and you know, these things are easy. The thing that makes YouTube different is the way that it works. It's pretty. It's, you know, it's got funky themes. So you can make something that looks quite nice. I mean, if you've got good designers and good programmers, then you can make something that looks really funky and make it look as good or better than YouTube. You know, that would be cool. I think we should start doing it. We should make our own, and that it becomes part of a social network of networks. That we have, you know, I'd like to organize a network on the seven, you know, through the seven rays. So have, you know, put the seventh ray souls in with each other, and put the sixth ray souls in with each other, etc., etc. Get people to make friends and see how life is very similar if you've got the same soul ray. You see things from their point of view, and that's what we call a soulmate. That's, you know, that's all it is. It's being on the same frequency, and the frequencies are labeled in the same way that we label frequencies in bands called music and the notes of music, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Just arbitrary frequencies. Same way we label colors, frequencies. Specific frequencies have specific colors, which have specific names, you know. Royal blue, sunshine yellow, E118, I think. Yeah, so it'd be very good to be able to create independent networks of small servers. Now, you don't need very much to do email, you know, unless you want to send huge amounts of email with, like, you know, big photographs and stuff like that. But the best thing to do that is to share them on a social network sort of site. And again, you can have your own social network. It's possible. You can build a WordPress site. Many people use Blogspot. Blogspot.com is a very easy way of making a blog. But you can make your own blog as well. You know, it's easy to set up a website with the same software running for yourself. WordPress. I use WordPress. I make these WordPress sites. It's great. You can set up a site and have it up and running within a few hours, which I did. So that's everbeyond.info/archives, and that's probably going to become everbeyondradio.com if I can get the domain, and that's going to be the next thing. So, and I'll have a kind of automatic system up there. That's my aim, is to create this automatic DJ that will play stuff at appropriate times, and other times it does nothing. Or other times it'll just, you know, sit back while I do the live shows, and I think that would be good. Yeah. So 11:11 is 11:11 is a kind of pause. So it's I might just take the day off, not do anything, and maybe stay in bed and sleep a lot. That might be a good thing. That's a good pause moment. You know, carry on. Have you noticed that the pause button on your tape recorder is labeled with an 11? Yes. 11:11. Yes, 12:30. So, some of the things I learned this week were, number one, we have, there are people, you're not alone. That's one of them. So, you know, there are people who do what you can't do, and they, you know, they enjoy doing it. They're very good at doing it, and sometimes it's time to let them do that. You know, so you can't do everything. You have to work with people, and you have to work with what you got. That's what Elvis says. Sometimes you have to work with what you've got, and I love doing that. I love working within limitations, given a goal. That's always a good fun thing. You know, what can I build that that I can build using the materials that I have? Yeah. Oh, it says the number 11 is a very powerful number. I have an 11 thing going on, apparently. And my son has double 11s and things. But supposed to be, like, charismatic, like Barack Obama and all these charismatic people are 11s. Destined for... JP, what will be the fusion center day? Well, you know, let's hope the fusion centers blow a fuse. They're trying to overwhelm us. I heard that the Utah one got overwhelmed. I'd recommend to people to research what are the trigger words that these people trigger on, and then add them to each and every email that you send to everything. You can, in fact, do it on... you make the white text against the white background so it can't be seen by the human eye, but the computers can read it. And that'll really fox them. So white text on white background, invisible, with all the keywords that the three-letter word boys, three-letter agency boys are. Why is it boys? Are they little boys? They're like 10-year-olds, all just messing around on computers, swearing at them and banging their keyboards. Maybe that's what they're like. Anyway, the three-letter boys having fun searching each and every email. So why not make it fun? Why not make them flag up? Because when they get a keyword, they get these flags. So basically, they're going to have to write some software that is able to deal with loads and loads of random keywords spaced throughout the text that are invisible to the human eye. Make the letter look very normal, except to the computer and analyzing it, can't tell the difference between white and black text, so won't be able to ignore it. Anyway, that would require another level of programming that'll delay them in being able to facilitate their master plan. So that's one of the ideas, is, you know, you basically put all the keywords in emails in an invisible form, just flood, cause, you know, do chain letters, you know, send this letter on, put a joke in it, that'll do it, you know, put a funny cartoon, cute picture of a cat maybe, or a cat, you know, riding a Hoover with a shark fin on its back. That's always a good one that you can send around by email with a whole load of keywords. Well, no, it was Tuesday that I got hit with the shit, and I've been, you know, spent 3 or 4 days, you know, working it all out and sort of cleaning up the mess, basically, sticking brushes up places. That's always been good fun, getting the chimney swept in the middle of a wind, in the middle of autumn. Anyway, it was all good. It's all good. I've been learning loads of stuff: how to sweep chimneys, how to get the chimney brush out from the chimney. Once you bring it down, it's a little tricky to get it back out again. So I have a meter long tube of plastic tubing that I can't pull out of the chimney, so I can't start the fire. So anyway, I worked it out in the end, jiggling it about a bit. And then I patched up the chimney that I damaged doing what I'm doing. So that's all fixed now, and, you know, I've put cement all around things, and it looks kind of normal again. And, you know, things are it's like things are not quite back to normal. The rat man said, "Oh, it may be a couple of weeks before they're all dead." Oh, thanks very much, you know. And they'll be chewing through my. They're looking for water, and so they'll be chewing through my water pipes up there. Oh, I hope not, please. Anyway, meanwhile, outside in the rest of the world, there's other kinds of shitstorms that are happening. And then outside of the world itself, outside, I did this this impromptu show with Patty Brassard the other day. I think that was that Friday? No, it was last Friday. But anyways, it's been an intense week. All these things have been happening. They're saying Comet Ison is like a ship, and it's been, you know, sending. It's been like it went past Mars and it destroyed various bases there. That's what she was saying, and I'm like, oh, that's quite interesting. And it's gonna. It's like basically, there's a war between the New World Order people, there was a war between the New World Order and the reptilians, and they were both fighting over us. And then then they saw what Comet Ison was doing, and then they turned both of their attention towards Ison, so that they're going to try and attack Ison. It looks like they've met their match, because Ison is apparently quite huge. So we'll see what happens with the Ison thing. I played it earlier. Maybe I'll play it later. You can download them from everbeyond.info/archives. So yeah, do come and visit the site. I might even put up some of the social networking software. It's my own server. It's the first time I've ever had my own server, and I've been renting it. And it's I'm learning all about how to write things in Linux and write scripts and download things. And I'm going to have an IRC server, and I've got a Shoutcast server, and I've got a own cloud server, and it's a little space that I can play around in, and it's deployable. You can make copies of it and bounce it around from New York to San Francisco, for instance. So that was so I've had this site has taken a lot of work to restore all the archives and put them all back where they should go, and deal with creating this new work. But it's taken me up a level. I think it's like I've learned a lot more because I've had to. Something else that has happened is a kind of clarity that I've gained this last week. Things seem a lot more. How can I put this? Lucid. Yeah, it's like. You know when you buy a new mobile phone, and you've got the screen, and it's got this kind of thin plastic film on top of the screen, which although if you look at the screen through it, you can see it, it's a little bit murky. And when you pull off the screen, you know, pull off this little film, you see the screen in its perfect form. You can see that it's almost like there's a difference between something there's a film over and the reality of it. And this is what we're talking about, the archontic reality, they call it, or archonic, but it's like a copy of reality. So we are we're forever presented with copies of this reality instead of our original stuff. And it really takes you living in the heart and living in the moment to be able to discern it. And so the first thing is, you know, you really have to breathe a lot and calm down. And if you find that you're overexcited, then breathe some more. Just sit down and give the world a chance, you know, give the world the chance to show you that is this your thing to do? Is it your? Have you got the time for it? Have you got the space to do this? Why do you take on so much? What are you missing? You know, we can only take on so much, but we also have our own stuff to take on. So we have to be responsible. Yes, an unusual fit of intuition. Yeah, exactly. I would recommend, yes. Toshiba makes a 1 terabyte external hard drive the size of a Sherman cigarette box on sale at Best Buy for $60. There you go. It's bought one a week before the laptop crashed in unusual fit of intuition. Exactly. So there we go. If you can find yourself, a terabyte should be enough for most people, unless you like to download movies or games and stuff like that, or music, or you record things like I do. Anyway, so it's a good place to put your archives on a terabyte disk, and gigabytes are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So it's very good to buy one of these. What I like is the really thin ones that go into the mobile phones. Really tiny thing, the size of your little fingernail. And you can put things on there, and you can sellotape it to a birthday card and send it to a friend. You can put gigabytes and gigabytes. You can send it in through the post, just say, there you go, look after this. You know, you can buy me one and I'll look after yours, so that if ever anything happens, you just have to pull out this tiny little thing. Here's your stuff. Put it in a Faraday cage. Keep it safe underground, maybe, or something. Anyway, yes. So yes, do get yourself backup drives. Make copies of the important stuff. Pole shift. It might be. It may be one day all this will be irrelevant, and all we have are our racial memories, and we can't remember a thing of this civilization that we call it, because it'll be no more, and we'll wonder what those ruins are, and we'll just live and be, and reality will be created in front of us. Maybe that's what 2036 is going to look like. John Titor's world. Yeah. So, quarter two. So, yes, we're going to be going over to Frank Jordan in a little while, over there in Boise. I think he's in Boise this evening. He's been around and about, but we'll be doing some healing. So, any healing requests, do come along. What else have I got a rant out? Yeah, I think I'm running low on the old juices there. It's been quite a week. Yeah, headaches, sore throats, backaches, stomach aches, all the chakras. If you got a problem somewhere, you got an issue, you know, you got a stomach ache, you know, look to what's making you angry. If you got a throat ache, what can't you see? You know, if you've got ears ache, what aren't you listening to? You know, if you've got foot ache, why can't you move on? You know, it's a conversation. Your body is having a conversation with you, and since you're not listening, it has to make you listen. And that's what I believe disease is. And you'll feel it. It'll express. And it's just trying to tell you something. That's all it is, trying to tell you something. It's a conversation. Anyway. Yes. Oh. There goes the screen. It went to sleep. So. I wonder. I think I'll. Oh, yeah. Let's play this. I'm going to play some tunes. Because I just think that would be nice. So I'm going to finish off the show early tonight and play a couple of tunes until we get Frank. So thanks everybody for joining in. Thanks for letting me into your houses, into your homes, into your earlobes, between your ears, into your brains, into your hearts. Thank you. I love you all. Good night.
beyond.